You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for joining us. Each year, Yellow Springs Schools host a winter and spring exhibition night at Mills Lawn and McKinney Middle School and Yellow Springs High School, where students from each grade, K through 12, make presentations on their recent projects to families and community members. The next exhibition nights will take place at McKinney Middle School and Yellow Springs High School on May 10th at 6 p.m. and Mills Lawn on May 16th at 5:30 p.m. To talk about the project-based learning approach used by these schools and how they help students and parents both, joining us in studio, we have the superintendent of Yellow Springs Schools, Mario Besora. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us about this year's Exhibition Night.
So Exhibition Night is a wonderful opportunity, I think, for the community to come out and see our kids showing their work and making it public. Because so often in schools, what happens is we do our work in isolation for a particular classroom and a teacher, and then we turn it in, and then a grade's given, and then nothing happens with the work. It just kind of goes away at that point. But what we want to do in Yellow Springs Schools through project-based learning is not just do work for doing work, but do work that has a greater purpose beyond the classroom and a life, usually around an authentic problem or need that the community has. And then we want to be able to make that work public in varying ways. And so one way we really think it's important for our students to make their work public is through exhibition nights. And it's a great opportunity for the entire Yellow Springs community to come out, and really anybody in the listening audience of WISO can come out to these exhibition nights. But it's a great opportunity to come out and hear about the work the kids are doing and see the difference between what Yellow Springs is doing in a project-based learning school and what you might see in a much more traditional school environment.
And the students are actually controlling the helm of this exhibition night for the most part.
They are, yes. So our kids are all presenting, and so it's really important that we put the kids out front. So they're the ones who have done the work, and they're the ones who are then showcasing their work and sharing their learning with their parents. And so a lot of amazing projects happen every single year, and it's really wonderful to come out and see this. So we do exhibition both in the winter and in the spring. And so all of our project-based learning work is really geared up to culminate right before exhibition. And so if you go around the schools right now this week and next week even, there's all kinds of hustle and bustle going on, and kids are doing a lot of incredible work. Case in point, there's a great project right now that's just wrapping up around bluebirds, where we have seventh grade students going out to a local farm and putting up these amazing bluebird houses and being citizen scientists, researching, doing social media around them, and really educating the entire community around bluebirds and how to help save them.
And tell us the reaction that you get from students. You're asking them to not only take ownership of their project, but to convey that to a public audience.
So what we repeatedly hear from kids over and over again, and it's been great, is that they feel like what they're doing in this work makes a difference in their lives. Like, they're not just doing work just for a test or just to get a grade. They're doing work specifically to make a difference beyond the classroom in their greater community. And so the more authentic you make a project, the more a project really has a real authentic purpose beyond the classroom and can solve problems, the more kids get into it and they're excited about it. And what we also find is that kids, when the project has an authentic audience beyond the classroom, that just really turns it up a notch in terms of the intensity of it. And the kids are the motivation, the rigor that goes into the work is significantly elevated at that point.
How long has Yellow Springs Schools been taking this project-based learning approach?
So we are currently in our fourth year of this work, and we took it on for a number of reasons. I think a couple things are happening, you know, in schools. And so with the onset of technology, things like Google have really changed how we teach and what we teach. Kids can no longer just get all the information from the teacher. You know, information is widely distributed on Google and all kinds of internet formats. And so it's very easy for students to get information that way. So the old way of doing things, where the teacher gives the information and the students receive it, is really an outdated model for teaching and learning. And so here in Yellow Springs, we're trying to change that model. We think that if we continue to do things the way we've always done in public education, we believe that public education becomes at risk, and we'll become effectively dinosaurs if we don't change what we're doing. So with Google, school choice, artificial intelligence, which is really having a huge impact on what we think kids are learning and how they should learn in the future, we think we're compelled to change, and there's a lot that needs to change in public education. And so Yellow Springs is doing our part to try to take action.
Can you highlight other projects that folks might see this year?
Absolutely. So there are two projects I'd love to highlight for you. The first is a project called Flipping Stereotypes. And essentially, it is a high school AP art project where the kids decided that for their project, what they wanted to do was create a flip book. So it's very much a traditional flip book where you flip through and there's three different sort of indentations where you can flip and change it. And it's called Flipping Stereotypes because each page has a stereotype high school student. So you have the jock, you have the artist, you have the, you know, all the different stereotypes that could be out there for kids. And the band geek, I think, is one. And so there's all kinds of different stereotypes. And the idea is that as you flip through the book, the heads change or the bodies change, and it really changes how you look. And each time you change it, the words on the opposite page change and sort of give an interesting message about, you know, how our kids are different, how we're not all one stereotype, that we represent really a diverse set of, you know, characteristics, that everybody's different. And so I think our kids felt like, especially right now during this time in our country and in our history, they were inspired to really talk about stereotypes and express it. And this book is done in watercolor, so I'm going to brag about the kids for a second. Our arts programs are incredible in Yellow Springs schools, and this is one of the top projects I've ever seen. And to the point where they're going to actually get it published. Folks can purchase these online. They're going to be sold on Amazon. And I think it's going to be a great project for the kids. And it is top quality work. And so we're working with DMS locally, Dayton Mailing Service, local Yellow Springs business that came from Dayton here. And they're actually donating a ton of the first copies for us. And so one of the things we do with PBL is we partner with local businesses. And this is one that has been a great partnership for our schools. And so they're supporting us. But these books are going to be top quality. And again, they're going to sell them online on Amazon, and so anybody can buy them. It's going to be called Flipping Stereotypes, and it'll support our local schools. A second project, which is going on, a very, very, very cool project, and it's I'm going to have to say it right, because if I call it the Ugly Fruit Project, the kids will be upset with me. So this is going on, I believe, it is a third grade class, and it is it's a project about misshapen fruit. And so the kids were concerned about how fruit, essentially, how much produce gets thrown away. And what they've discovered was that there's a lot of produce that gets thrown away if it's the wrong shape, if it's not looking pretty in a way that needs to be looked pretty. And so the kids decided to do some research on this. And so they created their own gardens. They have planted their own seeds, and they've grown their own ugly vegetables, as they call them, or misshapen vegetables, they said. And their whole goal is to get out and promote misshapen vegetables in the greater community, to get more of an interest and more of a awareness of the issue of vegetables being thrown away if they're not exactly the right shape. And so they've done that, and it's a pretty amazing project, and they really invested from start to finish on this work, including creating their own misshapen vegetables themselves.
Those are both fascinating projects. And so let's talk about the genesis of ideas. Is this all from the minds of the students? Are they collaborating? They come up with ideas on their own?
So that's an excellent question, Jerry. One of the things that happens in traditional public education is that it's all based off of standards, and the tests often drive what we do. Well, in Yellow Springs schools, we have tried to take almost the opposite approach. We've tried to start, instead of starting necessarily with the tests in mind, what we've started with, two things, our teacher passions and our students' passions. And so what we say is, what is it that the kids are really, really curious about, and what are they really passionate about? And then the second question is, what is it that our teachers are really passionate about and are curious about? And then we kind of meld those two together and come up with amazing projects. And so what we've been able to do is, our teachers have really tapped into their creative sides. It's been amazing, the growth we've had over the past few years. And thus, we've created these amazing projects. And our kids have been far more interested, I think, in learning when they're doing quality work that they're interested in. And then our teachers have been, because of their interest and their passion, it has translated to students in incredible ways. So we don't use necessarily the traditional system. And we also don't put limits on the length of projects. So sometimes a project might go 8 weeks if it has to. But we feel like that's valuable, and it's important for student learning, and that they're learning so much more from that than they would be from a very traditional approach of saying, okay, we're only spending 3 weeks on this unit, and then we move on. 3 weeks on this unit in order to get to a certain place by test time. I think learning is more organic than that, and how we learn as adults is we really mix all kinds of ideas together, and we learn much more organically. And so we're trying to make the school learning reflect the way people learn naturally outside of school.
Mario, I know you have a lot more to say on this subject, but in our final few minutes here, I just want to say that you're also asking something of audience members that night in the way of feedback for these projects?
Absolutely. So a key component of project-based learning is getting feedback. And so we have taught our kids to this idea of critique. And critique is about giving and receiving feedback. So our kids all the time, lots and lots of times, are giving warm and cool feedback each other all the time. So the intention is we actually tell kids, you give each other positive, warm feedback, but you also have to give each other cool feedback. And we set time aside for both as part of their work. And so we'll have kids who do projects where you'll have 4, 5, 6, 7 iterations of their work based off of feedback that they're getting from their peers. Well, in addition to that, we love having community experts and community members come in and give us feedback too. So the best part about this evening is we want parents and community members to come in and ask the kids hard questions about their work. Because that's how you can see exactly how much they're learning. And, you know, then the kids can kind of share their learning with the parents and community members that come in. So please come in, ask the kids hard questions, and give feedback on the work because we want to get better at what we're doing, and we want our kids to learn and be able to reflect on that. You know, the last thing I want to say, if I can, Jerry, I'd be remiss if I don't talk about the results. Because people say that this is all great and it's wonderful learning and it's nice to see the kids doing great projects, but what are they really learning? Is the question we often get. And sometimes you don't always see it in quantifiable terms. Like when you come to exhibition, you're going to see qualitatively and you're going to be wowed by what the kids do, how well they speak, the kinds of things that they're actually doing as a group. But what you won't see oftentimes is the pure, hard, raw data of how they're doing on traditional standardized tests. But when you look at what we've been doing over the last 4 years, what we found has been pretty incredible. Four of the last 5 years, our high school has made the U.S. News and World Report best high schools list for 4 of the last 5 years, and we were never on the list before that. And recently, last year, we were named to the as a gold school on that list and the number one school in the entire Miami Valley. And so that was really a great sign. And those are based on traditional standardized test scores, largely in terms of how they score. 76% of our graduates have taken at least one AP course in Yellow Springs schools. We made the AP Honor Roll, which is a very distinct kind of list of schools who not only score well on the AP test, but also do so while expanding the pool of students taking those tests and creating a much more diverse pool of students taking and passing those tests at higher levels. The last thing is we have a 100% graduation rate 2 years in a row. And so I think that has a lot to do with the work we're doing and the interest the kids have. And so, you know, we're not just teaching our students how to memorize content for a test only to forget it, you know, a month later. These are skill sets that we know artificial intelligence and a robot can do now. We're graduating kids that have learned how to learn. They learn how to give and receive feedback, how to solve complex real-world problems in groups, and how to use creativity to find authentic solutions. So we're doing a lot with our kids, and I'm excited about this work. I come to work every day really excited about the work our students and our teachers are doing, and we're hoping that we can kind of spread the word and grow this, not just in Yellow Springs, but beyond.
And just to clarify, you say your students are actually excelling in an education program that you're not really steering them towards far as standardized testing.
That's the irony of it, is that traditionally, if you really wanted to do well on standardized testing, what you would do is you would teach to the test, and you would have a lot more preparation for the test before you do regular. I mean, I've been in schools where we've done prep rallies where you have rallies just to prepare for the test and to get the kids motivated for the testing. We don't do any of that in Yellow Springs, and yet we still have done tremendously well on these traditionally measured tests and assessments. And so while the tests don't drive what we do, it is nice to see some validation that even that we are still doing well on very traditional measures as well.
Our guest has been Superintendent of Yellow Springs Schools, Mario Basora. We've been talking about exhibition nights, which will take place at McKinney Middle School and Yellow Springs High School on May 10th at 6 p.m. and at Mills Lawn on May 16th. That one's at 5:30 p.m. Mario, thanks for the conversation.
Thank you, Jerry. It's been great to talk to you.